This week on Vaticano, experience the Eternal City with seminarians at the Pontifical North American College as we follow them in their apostolates. In this Vaticano special, you'll share in the seminarians' joy and suffering as they evangelize people in the community, from the homeless on the streets to migrants in need of a meal, from children receiving the sacraments to young adults looking for their vocations. Vaticano starts now.
Seminarians are called to serve. We're called to serve the people of God in a special way within the body of Christ. We're meant to have that encounter with Christ and then be sent. But sent to serve, to be Christ for others.
For me, it was always, you know, the only priest in the parish was my pastor, and that's kind of who I learned what the priesthood is like from. But then you come to seminary and so much of your formation is spent in community, and you get really close with the guys in your classes and the guys who live near you and everything.
Our focus is always on God. When we study, we're focused on God. When we're meeting each other in the hallways, we're focused on God. When we're eating our meals, we're focused on God. When we go out into the city, we're focused on God. And it's a beautiful way of life.
It's a training of the heart. I think it's a training of the heart to be conformed to Jesus the High Priest is what the priesthood is a function of. It's a function of Jesus' priesthood, his sacrifice and his love for you and for me.
The priest is configuring himself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We look back in the scriptures. He took bread and wine. He offered those to his Heavenly Father on behalf of, in the future, the people of God. And then after doing that, and he said, "Take this and eat, this is my body, this is my blood," he commissioned his apostles to do the same. "Do this in memory of me." One of the other important elements that happened on that night was that he washed his disciples' feet. And that action also, he says, and you must do this, you must serve the people of God. That is very much a part of what we're doing.
An apostolate would go back to the work of an apostle when Jesus sent them out and said, "Baptize all nations." Especially in this world today, more than ever, we need to bring Jesus and the gospel message to people who are hungering and thirsting for that message. It's just harder for young men and women to hear the message of God. There are also distractions all over our society, noise, constant entertainment, and it's hard to settle and pray and be in silence, and God speaks in a whisper. Despite the challenges our society faces back home and throughout the world, these men had left space for God to call them, to let his voice come through, to touch their hearts, and to say yes to that call.
Those who might be watching this, that they understand that our men are really involved with the people of God, that we're preparing our men to be of service in a way that what we're trying to develop, their leadership skills, their compassion skills, obviously it's all tied up within their prayer, within their relationship with Jesus, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but making them, helping them to be men of God who want to serve the people of God.
The people of God deserve, I would say, not just want, not just need, they deserve holy, prayerful, generous and joyful priest to serve them. The people want someone who, as John Paul II wrote in Pastores Dabo Vobis, a man who is a bridge and not an obstacle to Jesus Christ.
They want to be able to engage their priest in a way that they say, he's our priest, he's our father.
Well, gentlemen, it's really good to be with you. As you well know, we have 22 different apostolates here at the North American College, very much about evangelization, very much about engaging the people about the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. This evening, I want to speak with you about this relationship that you have in your missions, in your particular apostolate. What is the goal? What is the focus that you are about in your missions, and what do you want to take away from that?
Yes, so as you know, the University of Mary is an apostolate, a university apostolate, in which we go out there a couple times a week just to bring the light of Christ to them, go on their home turf, interact with them, meet their needs sacramentally, socially, and to serve them as best we can in a virtuous manner. My name is Deacon Josh Hill, studying for the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota. I grew up around the Great Plains area, South Dakota, Montana, North Dakota, before seminary. I didn't know who I was, very insecure, didn't know where I wanted to go in life, what I wanted to do. It kind of just was going with the flow, honestly, of society. Yeah, I just considered myself as going to be married and have a family, but I never thought about the question of vocation. This university is, as I mentioned, in the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota, so it hits home, but in more ways than one, because in 2012, I was a student of the University of Mary, and I came to the Rome program here, and that's where I had my encounter with Christ. After I graduated, I was asked to go and serve on that same campus. And it was 2 years of being able to just give of myself to these students, which really began the process of forming certain priestly virtues of, like I was saying, a gift to self, making yourself available, and really finding yourself and losing yourself in a life of service. Then I entered seminary, and then came, after a couple years, was assigned back to the University of Mary. And in a very beautiful, providential, full circle way, I'm now in the position that first influenced me back in 2012. The role of a deacon will primarily be specified in the Mass. As you serve alongside of the priest and you assist at Mass, you assist at the Supper of the Lamb. We had the Mass on the conversion of St. Paul. This encounter that St. Paul had with the Lord and how it changed his life. I was able to share a little bit about my encounter. The primary emphasis for Saul was on his own activity. It was Saul serving the Lord according to his own way, according to the measure that he understood. And the main message, I would say, would be, in God's will does one truly find oneself. If you desire to encounter the Lord, you undoubtedly will, but only in the ways of his mysterious providence. Only by doing God's will can the Saul that you think you are be transformed into the St. Paul that our Lord knows you are.
He came through this program and then is now, you know, living out his vocation is so cool. And it's just very inspiring. I think that, like, that it will be inspiring to myself and to all the students here that, you know, that are searching for their vocation.
Patience is something that you just have to endure. And that's how you grow. It's something that is washed upon you, and you grow from that. So it's not something you can actively, patience, 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 patience. You can't really control it. It's a certain position of surrender. It takes an encounter with Christ, and it takes somebody who's been sent by Christ to then invite you to embody that other Christ-like figure and then invite you into a relationship. And having that apostolate experience, it gives us that chance to serve. When we're in seminary formation, when we're in academics, we learn about Christ, we learn about theology, the church, all of these aspects of our faith. But then with apostolates, we're able to apply that. To see their thirst come alive in this city has been inspirational. It stirred actually the fire in my heart. They have a hunger and thirst that is just contagious.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano.
My name is Chukwuma Odigwe. I'm from the Archdiocese of Washington. Before seminary, I had studied engineering at University of Maryland. And afterwards, I spent a year working as an engineer. I never really thought of seminary as something that would be part of my life. The priesthood was something that I was thinking of, but it wasn't something that was on the forefront of my life. Until I had an encounter in college that really helped me to really see that God might be calling me to the priesthood. I go to the Gregorian University, so that's about a 30-minute walk into the city.
We come here to take our classes in theology, but after, we often go to our apostolates.
So we've been serving at the Centro Estadi Center for Refugees. And it's been such a blessing because the people we encounter there have great suffering, but they often show great joy. We've been able to serve meals for them. And in preparing those meals, the act is so simple. But many times we're reminded of how much a difference serving that meal can make in that refugee's life. They have a place for the refugees to eat multiple meals each day. I serve during the lunch hour. These people, they come from so many different experiences, and I imagine many of them have been very traumatizing. We know that they come from many different countries, many from countries all over Africa, some from Latin America. I think we met one, at least from Ukraine. And they all have various wounds. You know that they're far from home, and they come to this place seeking some sort of accompaniment. And so when they arrive at that center, what they really need is just someone to really accept them and to give them the meal that they need to keep going. There was one visitor who came, and it seemed like he was having a very rough day. And he received his meal, and he wasn't exactly ready to leave the center. And he was going back and forth for at least close to an hour. At some point, he walked past me as I was preparing a tray to get to somebody. And I just smiled and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And in that moment, he seemed to just feel very comfortable with speaking with me about all the things that are going on in his life. He spoke about how since since coming here has been very rough for him. How he's in that particular moment, he's struggling with being on the streets. Explaining how in the midst of all this, he wants to be closer to God, but it's just very hard for him in these circumstances. It's very important for us to remember that God is always with us in all of our scenarios and all of our sufferings in life. And that while we can be in different places, you know, at a new job, or we can be at a new high school, we could be in Rome in a seminary that's far from home, we always know that God is with us. And because we have God with us, because we have a Father always with us, there's always someone who knows us. I'm always surprised that many of them are so joyful. They're so happy that we're there. I remember one time I was with a fellow seminarian volunteer, and one of the visitors came in, and he just looked at the person I was with and he said, "You are number one." And we were just surprised. We were like, "We should be saying that to you, right?" This is a sign that there's often a great joy in the center. So it's always a blessing to be there in that moment, to bring Christ into these moments these people are having that can be very difficult. And I think one great takeaway is just the power that we have as priests to really impact people going through suffering. And that's something that I hope to take with me going forward.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
Language, it's like drumming in that way, because you've got this song going on and you're adding to it, but at the same time you're really providing the baseline, providing the foundation, the rhythm, the beat, so that all the other instruments can kind of join around that and communicate an entire song to the people. And realizing sometimes what the Lord has communicated to us in the scriptures, yeah, with the music and everything, see kind of a common thread there of you have to bring together all those resources of communication and language and culture and all that stuff. You have to bring it together in order to really understand what is the Word of God, like how has the Word of God been spoken to me and what is the Lord speaking to me now. And it's Flaminia.
Flaminia,
I'm Zane.
Yes.
I don't know
Zane.
If we've met before.
Yes,
so.
We have.
Oh, okay.
Right at the beginning, I was here the first session.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah,
yes.
Good to see
you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be
We're
here.
We're going to have a good day, okay?
We are.
It's going to be great. Our mission at St. Patrick's is really about teaching the kids that we serve, the kids preparing for First Communion and Confirmation, not only about the sacraments, but also about the Lord Jesus himself, the one who they receive in those sacraments. And I think the opportunity that's there for us is to show them what it looks like to have a living relationship with him, to try to hand on what it means to really be in love with Jesus. Here, who still needs a name tag? You need one? You need one. You've already got yours? You're on the ball, dude. Okay, so everyone go ahead and quiet down, and Troy's gonna call your name and take attendance, okay? So remember our rule, you can't talk unless you've got the juggling, or the hacky sack, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I was very fortunate because I had a very powerful experience of the Lord and His love when I was in eighth grade, actually, when I was getting ready for my confirmation. We had this just one day long retreat that really changed my life. We go to Mass every single time we come to religious ed, right? Why do you think we go to Mass? Julieta?
To speak with God.
To speak with God, good. What else? Why else do we go to Mass? Manuel?
To pray.
To pray, very good, very good. Why else? I mean, it really was going from an approach to life where God, you know, whether or not he existed didn't really matter, and the question of his presence wasn't really consequential, to if God exists, then that's everything. Just this experience of love, that I am loved, not just by a particular person or this person or that person, but by someone who loves me perfectly and knows me perfectly. Okay, so now what we're gonna do is I'm going to read to you of what happened at what we call the Last Supper. Can everyone say that with me? The Last Supper. So the Last Supper was it's a great responsibility, and there's a lot of times where I'm like, boy, I gotta make sure these kids know, like, that the Lord is present in the Eucharist. What happens 3 days after Jesus dies on the cross? Serafina. Shh. That he's still alive, but that he comes back from the dead. That's right. So 3 days after Jesus dies on the cross, he rises from the dead.
Peter and John ran to the top.
My son says they make it very interesting. It's very much tailored to their, I would say, to their attention gap as well, because you have to keep their interest. And actually, I have to admit that when we come, almost 4 hours, the time really flies.
So usually we have like the 2 hour long catechesis, and then followed by a community mass. So all the religious ed families stick around for the vigil mass on Saturday evening. Once a semester, we also do a Sunday mass where we preach all the homilies and get that experience of preaching the same homily multiple times in the same day. The Gospel of the Lord. And I guess what I hope to take away is really just a better understanding of, you know, where are the people in the church, families and young people, where they are in their faith, so that we can better hand on that faith to them. In baptism, we use your gift of water, which you have made a rich symbol of the grace you give us in this sacrament. At the very dawn of creation, your Spirit breathed on the waters, making them the wellspring of all holiness. The waters of the great flood you made a sign of the waters of baptism, that make an end of sin and a new beginning of goodness. We ask you, Father, with your Son, to send the Holy Spirit upon the water of this font. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Elena Sofia Veronica, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He now anoints you with the chrism of salvation. As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as members of his body, sharing everlasting life. Amen. Amen.
Well, gentlemen, my heart is full of gratitude for what you do in your apostolates, in the mission, the ministry that you're about, in bringing the good news to the people of God. I really can't thank you enough. And I know that from these experiences, you're going to be a great priest back in your home diocese. You'll really be able to bring that message because of the experiences you've had here to really shape you as a person of Jesus Christ for the needs of his kingdom.
Penac's a great place to be formed to be a priest.
It's a constant conversion that needs to take place every day. It's that training of the heart.
I believe God can use anything for His glory. I hope to be someone who's open and available to the needs of others.
God is real, and if He's real and He loves me, that's everything.